Well, I do count it a privilege every time I get to speak here. I do appreciate our pastor. He is a diligent man of the word, and it was kind of fun getting to put my feet in his shoes for a week and a half, and get some messages together, something that God's put on my heart. And he's got a full-time job, just let me tell you, and he's got a family, so don't ever take for granted your pastor. He is a hardworking man, and just in a different way, but he's a hardworking man. You read in Ecclesiastes, it says something about many books are a weariness or something like that. He gets weary sometimes, you know, studying and preparing for these things. You just pray for him, and it's good that he's been able to get away and learn some things that he's probably wanting to be more informed on. So I guess we'll find out what that is. There's a brother here this morning that's struggling. It's the anniversary of the death of his daughter, and he asked me to pray for him this morning. So I'm going to pray. Let's pray together for this brother as he is struggling. He came to church today. He didn't feel like it, but he decided he was going to come to the house of God. We praise the Lord for that. Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother as he's struggling at this time with the anniversary of the death of his daughter. I just ask that you comfort him and strengthen him and bless him today for being here amongst the people of God. We pray you be with the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I have a little game for you guys this morning. Y'all are going to have to think again like you did in Sunday school, but it's a little more fun. Well, it was fun in there too, but this is a little more non-serious. we're going to divide it in half, so we're going to see who is the smartest side, right or left. These are, I don't know what you'd call them, who am I or what am I, riddles or questions, and you're going to have to tell me what it is that I'm telling you about. And we're just, it's to prove a point. It's not just all that frivolous. Okay, here we go. A and B. I have a single eye, but cannot see. What am I?
A needle?
All right, B's got one. It's a needle. Okay. Here we go. I am full of holes, yet still hold water. What am I? I need a hand because I think it was this side though, so I'll give it to A, but we need a hand because then it's just back to elementary school. Hands. I need hands. Here we go. This one's a little longer. If you get it before I finish, raise your hand so I can stop and you get a chance to get it right. I am black and white and red all over. Yes. Okay. B's got 2-1. Okay. Here. This one was the long one. I was reading ahead but read the wrong one. Okay. 30 men and only 2 women. But they hold all the power. Dressed in black and white, they could fight for hours. Who are they? No. No. Chess. The queen's on a chessboard. B's got 3-1. Let's see. If you get these two, you can tie it. And then it can be a stalemate. Okay. I am the beginning of the end of every place. I am the beginning of eternity. What am I? The letter E. Okay, that's it. That's correct. And then, if you had it, Alyssa, forgive me. I didn't. I only have 2 eyes, and can't split very easily. Okay, the last one, and this one is for bragging rights of winning or losing. Because if you get it, well, you're still first in the long line of losers. You know. Okay. The more it dries, the wetter it becomes. I didn't. Towel. Okay. All right. That's right. Second place. But they got it right. All right. I hope you all enjoyed that game. It was really fun. And now we're getting on to a more serious question. A question that I hope some of you have considered. A question that maybe some of you haven't given much thought. But it's a question that the answer is a life or death answer. Like, it's either life or death on the answer of this question. And the question is, who is Christ to you? It's a life or death answer. If you get it wrong, you'll be apart from God for all eternity. I hope most of you in here have answered this question correctly. But if you have not, there's hope because you're here. There's still time because God hasn't taken you out of this world. Now, there's mercy with God. We can be thankful for that. You read in the Old Testament, there's a prophet, in wrath, remember mercy. God hates sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. But in his wrath, he remembers mercy. You read in the Psalms, David's like, remember that we are but dust. He knows we're humans. He knows we're sinners. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for us. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So who is Christ to you? For the answer to this question is a life and death matter. This question is a personal one. Only you can answer this question. I can't answer it for you. Your spouse can't answer it for you. You have to answer it for yourself. Because when you pass on to eternity, it's you and you alone before the judge of all the earth. And you will have to answer this question. Who was Christ to you? Was he your Savior? Was he your God? Was he your Lord? It's a personal question. No one can answer it for you. This test is a pass, fail, and it's only one question. Your test is only one question. This whole life, there's only one important question that you must answer. And if you get it wrong, you don't graduate. It's serious. Because life and death, eternal life and death. You either have eternal peace or eternal torment. Who is Christ to you? Your life is like a clock slowly winding down, and eternity's pendulum is about to strike, and when it strikes its last. So the question remains, who is Christ to you? Life or death is in the sway. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll read verses 13 through 16. Jesus poses this question to a group of men, his disciples. He asked them straight up, who is Christ? Who do you say that I am? We're going to read in these verses here, and we're going to talk about them, because it's life or death. Starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Or who do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I venture to say, and I believe I can say it correctly, that he gave the right answer. He gave the right answer. But is that your answer? Are you in here today trusting in Christ and Christ alone? Or is it me? Who is Christ to you? Because he asked them, who do men say that I am? Well, we're going to look at that. Who do men say that Jesus is? Well, who did the men around them say that Jesus was? One, John the Baptist. Well, who is John the Baptist? Well, Jesus says he was like a reed shaken in the wind. He was a voice. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. What did ye come out to hear? He asked them. A reed? What did you come out to see? A reed shaken in the wind. He was a prophet. And a man that was greatest among men, born of women. He says, there is none greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great man. But I tell you, he wasn't God. He was a voice. Prophesied. He was preparing the way for this man. The man. Christ Jesus, who is more than a man, He was God. That's important. Let's continue on. So John the Baptist, Elisha, he was one of the Old Testament prophets. You know, Elisha, the man who struck the water with the garment, the double portion, and it split open. Wow. Miracles, power. He had the power of God in his life. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the man who preached and preached and preached, and his own people hated him. They told him to be quiet. I don't want to hear what you have to say. A man of God, he was, nonetheless. But they're still missing it. Because what do these men have in common? Well, they were all prophets. And you know what? Jesus was a prophet. But he was more than a prophet. That's what these men said. He's John the Baptist. He's Elisha. He's Jeremiah. But he was more than that. Is Jesus more than that to you? We have some more of what people thought of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. This is what Jesus is speaking here. And this is some things that he's talking about John the Baptist, but then he's talking about himself. The Son of Man came, that's Jesus, eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So they were calling him a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, what a terrible man, a Pharisee, a prophet, a man of God, a great teacher. And he's a friend of sinners and publicans, and he drinks and he eats. Wow. Okay, so some thought this of him. How about Matthew 13, 55? Who do men say that I am? He asked them. Well, here's some who do men say that I am. 1355. He's in his hometown, Nazareth. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus saith unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. His own people, and venture to say some of his own family, saw him as nothing more than a mortal man, born of Mary, the son of a carpenter himself. He has his brothers, and we know what they're like. We know who they are, and his sisters. He's just a man. He's the carpenter's son. John 6, 26. Turn with me to John 6, verse 26. Who do men say that I am? I hope you're not falling into this. Who do men say that I am? John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered and said, answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. So he just got done feeding the multitude here, and they followed him over the Sea of Galilee, I believe it is. And he tells them, you don't seek me because of the miracles. You seek me because I fed you. They just saw him as some sort of provider. They didn't see him as Jesus, the Son of the living God. He was just the provider, a man that had the ability to give them food. But they did not, or did not want to, see him as who he was. It was not in their minds. They were blinded to it. Because the thought of the time was, Jesus is coming and the Messiah is going to come and he's going to rid us of our political oppressors. He's going to clean out our land. And Jesus he's coming as a man. He's eating, he's drinking, he's friends of publicans and sinners. The Romans are still in our land. He's just a man. He's just some sort of man that has power, and he's able to give us food, and we like food. How about modern thought? How about who do other religions or men say that he is? I took this off of coldcasechristianity.com. He gives us different religions and what they believe about Jesus. We're going to find out what they believe. Judaism. Who does Judaism see Jesus as? Jesus was Mary's son. There's more on this. You can look this up. I'm not going to read everything. There's a lot of interesting information on here. Jesus was a teacher. This is Judaism. Jesus had many disciples. Jesus was respected. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus was crucified on the cross. They historically accept him. They don't deny that he existed. They just don't believe that he is who he said he was. Jesus' followers reported he rose from the dead. Okay. Did you know our faith hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did you know how important that is? It's very important. Because if he didn't raise from the dead, we're still in our sins. And of most men, miserable. Do you know being in sin is miserable? The Bible likes to tell us that. It's miserable to be apart from God. Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden. And every time they looked back there and they saw the angels guarding it, they were reminded of how wicked their sin really was and what it cost them. They were miserable. And now they had to toil and sweat and have pain. Sin is so terrible. The resurrection is very important. It's very important for us. Islam. What does Islam have to say? They give more credit to Jesus' claims than Judaism does. Jesus was born of a virgin. I don't think Judaism says that. Well, they would agree with that, but they don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin. They believed he was the son of Mary and claimed to be this. He was a man that had power, but he wasn't Messiah. It's important. Jesus was to be revered. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was a wise teacher. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus will come again. Now, what's important about this part is Jesus will come again. They believe that Jesus will come back. I'll just read it. Islam acknowledges Jesus will return in the future during the latter days. The Hadith, a collection of sayings from Muhammad, described the second coming of Jesus. While Muslims acknowledge the second coming, they maintain Jesus will return as a Muslim and a follower of Muhammad, returning to earth to revive Islam. So that's what they believe about a second coming. That's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. It's not true. Read it. But that's what they believe. They believe he's coming again. Do we believe he's coming again? I hope so, because it is going to happen. Do we live our lives accordingly? We have Ahmadiyya. It's an Islamic, the Islamic Ahmadiyya movement was founded by a man in the 19th century. And what do they believe? Jesus may have been born of a virgin. Sounds kind of like the skeptics, the critics of true Christianity, the higher criticism. They're doubting whether Jesus is really born of a virgin. It's kind of like, well, we can toss this up in the air, and maybe it is, maybe it's not. It's very important that he was born of a virgin. It's very important. Jesus was a prophet. Well, they get that right. Jesus was a wise teacher. That he was. Jesus was a miracle worker. That's true. Jesus was crucified on the cross. That's true. So they get some things right, do they not? But being right about certain things of Jesus, that doesn't guarantee you that you're saved. It doesn't guarantee you that you have eternal life. It doesn't guarantee you that you answered who is Christ to you correctly. It doesn't guarantee that, because Jesus was more than a historical figure. He is the beginning and the end. He was before history books, before National Geographic. He was before National Geographic. Don't necessarily believe everything they have to say about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there's an agenda out there, and they don't necessarily like who he is, because he confronts them of how wicked they really are. Jesus confronts sinners. His very being confronts sinners. Why were the Pharisees so upset? Well, Jesus came in and like ruined their monopoly on religion. He says, no, that is not what God intended. And they're like, he's right, but we don't like it. So we're going to get rid of him. Just think about that. Jesus confronts sinners, but he loved sinners. What's it say? The wounds, the kisses of a... I can't remember that passage. But it's an, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Jesus wounds us, but he loves us. He doesn't deceive us. He says, you're a sinner. And if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. He just tells us right out front. You can be thankful you have a God like that. He doesn't torment you with making you work for your salvation. He says, you believe in me, you have everlasting life. Who is Christ to you? Hopefully it's not like some of these. Baha'i. This was a Persian religion founded in the 19th century. They claimed Jesus came from God. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus spoke for God. Jesus was a wise teacher. Jesus had a divine and human nature. Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus was crucified and resurrected as an atonement for humanity. I haven't heard that in any of the other ones before. Very interesting. So, they have some things right about Jesus. They do. But yet, they just see him as this good man. This man that had these powers, and they kind of weave in some biblical stuff. But that's Satan. Isn't he a master deceiver? He puts a little truth in with a lie and gets us to believe it. He transforms himself into an angel of light. There's a master deceiver out there. But I tell you, Jesus is the conqueror. He puts all that question away. He says, I am. I am. Okay, what else do we have? Hinduism. Jesus was a holy man. Yeah, he was a holy man. He was a perfect holy man. Jesus was a wise teacher. Jesus is a God. Because Hindu has thousands of gods. He is a God. Okay, that's all they really have about Jesus. Here we go. This is interesting. Jesus, this is Buddhism. Jesus was an enlightened man. No. Jesus was a wise teacher. Jesus, and Jesus was a holy man. So they say he was a holy man too. The Dalai Lama often describes Jesus as a holy man and includes Jesus in his list of such people. The Dalai Lama. Isn't it funny how our country, the world, kind of looks up to like the Pope and the Dalai Lama and some of these other folks as these great spiritual leaders. And they have to kind of claim Jesus because it's not totally acceptable, but they don't believe in him. They claim him to exist. They claim power, but they don't believe in him. He's not the one and true God to them. And the New Age movement, this is kind of where we're at today in some sense. Jesus was a wise moral teacher. So why do they think they must account for him? Oh, that's the question he has. So the New Age movement only believes Jesus was a wise moral teacher. So that's what men think of Jesus. Very interesting, is it not? Men think Jesus to be this great guy that's not God. He is a prophet. He's a good moral teacher, but that's it. Who is Christ to you? Because he is not God to them. I hope he's God to you. Because the answer to this question is life or death. It is. Who is Christ to you? So I really wrote something down here. What do all these have in common? More or less, they all claim that Jesus existed. And it varies on the different degrees of what they believe about him. Islam even gives Jesus more of his claims than Judaism does. However, where they all fall short is that they claim that Jesus existed as a man apart from his deity. And as Christians, we know that to be scripturally inaccurate. Jesus was a man, and he was a good man, but he also was a God and a good God. He is not just a man, he is God. The Bible, he had to be a man so he could die for our sins, but he did not put aside his deity to do that. He was God, is God, and always will be God. Who is Christ to you? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He knew it. He saw it. He saw the miracles. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. And then God finally confronts him and says, "Who am I to you?" And Peter's like, "I know who you are. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe." They say John the Baptist. I know you're not John the Baptist. They say Elijah. You're not Elijah. You're not even Jeremiah. You're who the Bible said was the one to come, the Messiah. That's who they said he was. So we've talked about who men think Jesus was or is, but the question has yet to be answered for yourself. At least I hope you're answering it. Maybe you're not. I hope you're not shutting this out. This is very, very important. Who is Christ to you? The question of life and death. This question, again, is a personal one, and you have to answer it. So, in our passage, Matthew 16, let's look back at that again. Matthew chapter 16. What does Peter say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Does your answer match that one? Is that revealing of your faith in Christ and Christ alone? Do you see him as deity? Is he God to you? Or is he a mere mortal man that taught good things and had some sort of power to do miracles? I hope he's not just a good moral man, a wise teacher. I hope he is your God. Because whether or not he is your God, you will stand before him. The Bible says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Peter and the disciples saw what Jesus had already done. They heard what John the Baptist said. They were followers of John, and then Jesus comes along, like, there he is, we're going to follow him. They believed. They believed even before Jesus came on the scene. He's coming, because John prepared the way. They experienced him in person. But that's what Peter said. But what do the scriptures say? I have 50 names here of who Jesus is. I hope you're not going to be turned off by what the scriptures say Jesus is. He's the Almighty One. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Advocate, the author and finisher of our faith. He has all authority in heaven and earth. The bread of life, the beloved Son of God, the bridegroom, chief cornerstone, deliverer, faithful and true, the good shepherd, great high priest, head of the church, holy servant, I am, Emmanuel. He's the gift, judge, king of kings, lamb of God, light of the world, lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord of all, mediator, Messiah, mighty one, one who sets free, our hope, peace, prophet, redeemer, risen Lord, rock, sacrifice for our sins, Savior, Son of man, Son of the Most High, supreme creator over all, resurrection and the life, the door, the way, the word, true vine, truth, vicarious one, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is God. That is Jesus. That is the one who all men will stand before and give an account for their sins. Who is Christ to you? The fact is, these revelations of who Christ is are true whether or not you or I acknowledge them. You can put it away and say, "Nah, not for me." But that doesn't negate truth. Truth is not relative. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. The scriptures say, "The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Relative truth sets no man free. Just bondage. Because then from relative truth comes all vices. You name it, you do it, that's fine. Not okay. Not godly. Because Jesus said, Ten Commandments. Or God the Father wrote the Ten Commandments. And Jesus reiterated the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Sin is sin, and Jesus died to set you free from sin. And if you accept the sacrifice, you have eternal life. God has put within man to know that he is, and has given the Holy Spirit to convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Who is Christ to you? Is he Christ, the Son of the living God? Is he your Savior? Have you accepted his sacrifice for your sins? Remember, this is a life and death situation. But the question is yours. And you alone will be held responsible for the answer. Jesus, the Savior, he is also the judge. Please, if you haven't accepted Christ today, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't wait. In your seat, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's faith and faith alone, not of works. Not of works. How about you, Christian? You have the faith in your heart. You believe. Who is Christ to you, though? He may be your Savior, but is he the Lord of your life? Or, as we learned in Sunday school, is sin reigning in your life? Jesus Christ, God, he's just that ticket into heaven. And then I'm going to live the life that I want to live. That's hypocrisy, and it's wicked. We can't do that. Who is Christ to you, Christian? Maybe you're here and you're saved today, but you're not right with God. Jesus Christ is your answer. And you know what? If you say you agree with all these things, all 50 of these different names of Jesus, but your life is a life full of sin, your life doesn't match your speech. You claim God, but you don't live like you're in control or God controls your life. It's very important because, as we talked about, ye are the salt of the earth. You are a light on a hill. It's very important because your life is a testimony to the world around you. And if Christ isn't Christ to you as a Christian, why is Christ going to be Christ to them? Why do they care? They need to know that something's different. It's very, very important. Jesus, remember, right after the confession Peter makes, he goes on to say that I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be given over to men. And Peter grabs him and says, no, Lord, not so. What does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men. Isn't it amazing how fast we can turn? He had wrong priorities. He believed in Jesus to be the Messiah, yet he still thought Jesus somehow was going to free them from the Roman. And Jesus didn't come to free from the Roman. He came to free from sin. And he says, thou savorest not the things of God, but of men. Are you in here today and kind of like Peter? Jesus, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he turns and says, yeah, but you savor the things of men. You savor the things of the world. I hope that's not us. Hope that's not you. I hope it's... I savor the things of God. My eyes are set on heavenly things, treasures in heaven. Please, Christian, if you are here today and cannot, without hypocrisy, declare who Jesus is, it's your turn to come down front. It's your turn to get on your knees. Say, God, forgive me. And restore that relationship. God's talking to us today. Who is he to us? If you're in here and you're lost today, who is Christ to you? If he's not your Savior, he's your judge. Christian, is he Lord of your life? Because you're going to stand before him too. I hope it's going to be well done, thou good and faithful servant, and not so saved as by fire. I hope you guys want a good reunion with the Lord Jesus. I mean, it's going to be glorious in heaven, but the entrance into heaven, we want it to be great and glorious and spectacular and not be ashamed and wiping away of all tears. I'm telling you, it's glorious. The resurrected King, he's at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. Who is Christ to you? It's life or death. Let's pray. God, I do ask that you'd work in our hearts. I do pray that if there be anyone in here that's not saved, that has not trusted you, has not answered this question accurately, that they would. If there's Christians in here today that are living a hypocritical life, a life that's not pleasing to you, may they as well come and deal with that. God, I do pray you'd be with us as we go from this place. Work in hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.